Moncrief on News Talk.
There are plenty of people who simply don't believe in climate change, regarding it as some sort of big money scam. But there's also a cohort of men who see it in somewhat gendered terms, that coaxing them out of their big cars will somehow sissify them. Andrew Boyd, the author of I Want a Better Catastrophe, has been writing about this. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon. Very honoured and happy to be here.
Is it that these men don't want to give up their big tank-like cars, or is it they have views about climate change, or is it both?
It's both. It's an intersection. The original term was coined by political scientist Kara Daggett, and her insight was that it's not, you know, fossil fuels is not just a energy system, it's not just a profit-making machine, but it's an identity, and particularly a male identity. I mean, if you think about it, you know, you're digging stuff up out of the earth, you're burning things, you're getting dirty, you know, used to use, you know, require like muscles and very physical labor, now gnarly machines. And on the consumer side, you're driving a big truck, at least in America you are, and you're revving it up, and you're like lord of the earth with like no consequence. It's very he-man, very toxic masculinity, man as dominator of nature and by extension of women.
But yeah.
Then you get in a situation, right, where like the economy's changing, work's becoming softer, greener. Climate change means we have to ramp down these extractive industries. And women are rising in equality, power, status, income. And a lot of men are kind of losing their way. You know, the manosphere is an example of that, feeling threatened. Some of us embrace these changes, see all the good in them, right? Equality, less pollution, you know, what have you. But some of us dig in and defend the old ways, and they code like environmentalism and green tech as soft, weak, and feminine, and defend fossil fuels in this sort of aggressive, buffoonish, hyper-masculine way. And it can get pretty ugly out there.
Wow. So that's combining a whole range of issues there. I mean, and are there any indications that this cohort don't believe in climate change, that they've gone to put any effort into trying to disprove climate change, or is it, no, I just don't want to give up my car and that's it?
I think the climate denial argument is very handy to sort of defend what, you know, something that they feel is very sort of traditionally masculine. They're kind of holding on to things as the world changes around them. So I think climate denial is a very sort of convenient argument. And, you know, but, you know, denial is part of a larger thing of, you know, climate denial, climate delay, you know, and it's just a general sort of thoughtlessness and don't tell me how to live my life kind of thing. You know, men, you know, recycle less, litter more, you know, have a bigger carbon footprint. But it also shows up in these very, you know, at least in the U.S., in some very sort of over the top, strange aggro kind of ways. Like there's these guys who take their truck and they modify their, you know, their diesel exhaust, you know, engine, and in ways that cost them money to pump out like, you know, quadruply more polluting stuff, you know, gray, black smoke out of there. It's called coal rolling. And then they sort of, you know, kind of intimidate bicyclists and Priuses, you know, on the road. Or like, I think most people heard about this phenomenon or recognized it in this big sort of Twitter fight between Andrew Tate, you know, professional misogynist, you know, manosphere bully, and Greta Thunberg. And he sort of had no relationship with her at all. Middle-aged man trolling a sort of, you know, a female teenager. And he said, please, in a tweet, right, that became very famous, please provide your email address, he said this to Greta, so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions. You know, and then Greta kind of claps back, you know, took a moment to think about it, I guess, and then said, yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com. You know, and so there's like these over the top kind of ways in which men are, you know, pushing back and kind of asserting their sort of privilege, even if that privilege means destroying the planet. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Does that say perhaps a bit more about the political divisions, particularly in the US, but perhaps have infected a lot of the world, that the issues don't matter anymore? It's just about winding up the other side. That the battle is the point, not the winning of the battle.
in the U.S., we call it like what the right wing does is owning the libs, you know, and
yeah.
it doesn't make any sense. It's not based in reality. It doesn't even make economic sense. I mean, Trump is insisting that certain coal plants in the U.S. continue operating, even though they're losing millions upon millions of dollars, just as a sort of free-floating ideological, you know, sort of flip the bird to, you know, to the other side. And there's like $4 billion, you know, wind farms that are about to go online, you know, that will power hundreds of thousands of homes, you know, in the country he's supposed to represent. And he's like canceling them at the last minute. And then, you know, of course, launching a war, in another Middle East war for oil, you know, so this stuff isn't just lifestyle stuff. It really has, you know, massive global impact, you know, so climate change is not just a scientific problem or a political problem. It's really a deeply psychological problem that's very tangled, you know.
Mm. There is an issue, though, would you accept, that young men growing up today, there's not much in the way of role models. Young women probably have more positive role models than young men are. Young men feel under and they're, you know, they're interpreting equality as some form of oppression to them because they're being told that, no, it wasn't like that. We used to have it all our own way kind of thing. So and there is no kind of guiding force in to try to understand the way the world is changing.
Yeah, it's I think a lot of young men are at sea, and, you know, there are role models, but they don't have, you know, particularly aggressive social media platforms, say, you know. And so this is where the Andrew Tates of the world step in and offer some scripts, if you will, on how to be a man, you know, sort of get fit, you know, some things that make some sense, you know, exercise, you know, whatever. But then they're sort of along with that is all this sort of toxic messaging about you've got to dominate women and don't show your feelings, you know, this kind of thing, you know. And so it's kind of ugly for young men out there. And I think, you know, we have to offer a different story, you know, and on.
Why do you think there isn't a different story being offered?
I think there is. It's just quieter. You know, it's a little more. You have to. It's maybe a little more local. You know, and I mean, think about and like we're talking about petromasculinity and the sort of flip of that. Is, you know, a kind of a notion of eco-masculinity or a way to be manly, to feel masculine, you know, and that can mean many different things to many different people in this sort of brave new world, if you will. And I mean, let me paint a little picture of you got a guy strapping on a tool belt and climbing 300 feet up into the air to fix a wind turbine. That's a fairly manly kind of economic activity, you know, and not just manly, and it doesn't just pay the rent, it actually saves the world, you know, arguably, right? And what is more, you know, and men are supposed to be responsible, right? A good man is responsible. A good man protects his community and his loved ones when trouble rolls into town, and trouble is rolling into our one and only home, you know, the earth. And what is more like protector masculinity than protecting the earth? You know, it's a heroic masculine thing to do. So that's just one offering that is, one offering. That's a very powerful offering.
Yeah. Andrew, I'll leave you to go and strap on your tool belt. That was Andrew Boyd there, the author of I Want a Better Catastrophe. One texter says the climate agenda is all about the extraction of your hard-earned money. Indeed, because as we've seen from recent events, oil companies are really more like charitable institutions.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.